Hey everyone, I'm so glad that you've joined us today. I'm going to be speaking on Your Breakthrough is Coming. I hope you enjoy it. I want to take a moment to speak to you, and I really want to talk to you from the thought of your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. You know, I this week went to Papua New Guinea, and maybe some of you saw that, but I went, and as I spoke last time, you remember I said I've been trying to meet with the Prime Minister. Last time, I didn't get to meet him, but on the way home, he was sitting in the row in front of me on the plane. I was on the first row of economy. He was in the last row of business class. It was a bit weird for a Prime Minister to be put on the last row of business class, but anyway, he was, and maybe it was just purely for the God thing. I met him. He said, next time you come, I'll meet you. So we flew up to Brisbane because we've got a Bible college that's coming on board, and I was speaking there. And about lunchtime, we got a call. Yes, everything's confirmed with the Prime Minister for 11 o'clock tomorrow. The problem was they told us it was going to be 11 o'clock on Friday. That was 11 o'clock on Thursday. And I wasn't arriving into PNG until 12:30 on Thursday. So lucky I was in Brisbane, and because the good thing about being in Brisbane, I could fly to Cairns. So we changed everything. We got there. I met with the Prime Minister. I was told I'd have about 15 minutes. As I'm sitting there waiting for him, I get told you'll have a maximum of 10 minutes. I've worked out everything I'm going to say. Now I have to rework it out again. And I get into his office and we talk. And really what we wanted is him to endorse the Believe campaign. And so I was looking for this breakthrough. I was looking for, come on, every time I seem to try to meet him, something comes up. And here I am, and I'm talking with him in the office. And I said, would you endorse the program? And of course, if you're a Prime Minister, you've got people sitting in your office, what are you going to say? No. You know, so I made sure that it wasn't just lip service. And I talked to him about that. And then I said, would you open our day of national celebration, which is quite funny because you'd think that the Prime Minister would propose a day of national celebration, not us. And but with all that in mind, he said yes. The good thing is the meeting went for about 25 minutes. He didn't push us out. I actually wrapped up the meeting because I felt like got to honour the man's time. And then I said, it said everywhere. It said, please don't take photos. In fact, don't even take your camera in. I'd taken my phone in, forgetting that it had a camera in it. And I was sitting there, and at the end I said, can I break protocol? Would you mind if we got a photo together? Thinking I might get a rejection. And he said, no, let's do that. That'd be great. Let's come over here. And we stood in front of the national flags and we got all these photos. And the great news is that we've had a breakthrough, because what that means is that now wherever we go, we can say the Prime Minister has endorsed this event, and that opens all sorts of doors of opportunity. So we had the breakthrough we've been praying for, believing for. You guys have been backing us for, so thank you for that. And we're believing it's just the beginning of what God is wanting to do. But with that in mind this morning, I want to talk to you about your breakthrough is coming. You see, we can't live in the year of double portion and just keep doing what we've always been doing. We've got to step into all God has for us. And I know that as soon as we talk about something like a double portion, it's like almost you press a button and the enemy will try and come against you to not walk into what he's got purpose for you. So if you feel a little like that, wow, it's been, over the last few weeks, I've been pushing and pushing and it's been difficult. Well, today we're going to believe that we're going to step in to the breakthrough that God has purpose for us. So I want you, if you can, to go with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. And just while you're going there, in 2 Samuel, it'll come up on the screen as well. If you're watching online, it'll be there. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And this scripture is a little of an obscure scripture in a way. But I've been asking of the Lord a few things. And as I was reading this scripture, it stood out to me. And in simple terms, it's a story about David defeating the Philistines. It's not him when it was David and Goliath, although it's in the same, there's a valley within a valley. And the valley that he defeated Goliath was in this place. He's actually now set in the valley of Rephaim. And Rephaim, the actual literal meaning of Rephaim, is the valley of the giants, or where giants come from. So isn't it interesting that this story is set in a place where giants are? And I want you to understand the reason I'm referring to this text today is because you might be seeing some giants right now. You might be seeing some things, but you need to understand when the Lord is on your side, victory is yours. You need to step into the victory that God has already won for you. So we pick it up here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force. Notice that he's become the king. He stepped into his destiny. He stepped into his moment. And what happens is the enemy comes against him with full force. I was just saying, when you declare a double portion year, the enemy's going to come at you with full force. But we need to remember that the victory's already been won. And so here it says to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." I just want you to note there, he hasn't won the victory yet, but he's heard the word of the Lord. You know, when you hear the word of the Lord, how incredible is it that you can go with a sense of confidence that God is going to come through for you? Well, today, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. I want you to understand that God is about to speak. And the Lord answered him, "Go, I will surely deliver you to the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Then it's interesting because the story seems to repeat itself. It's actually a different battle, but look what it says. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. I mean, it's literally back to back, straight in front of each other. So David inquired of the Lord. He answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're about to do in this place. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. And today I declare the breakthrough is coming for people all over this room. Lord, if people are watching online on YouTube, I pray that their breakthrough is about to happen in this place. Lord, I thank you that you are in control. You are the God that speaks to us when we inquire of you. So I pray today people would leave this place with a sense of knowing what you purpose them to do, in Jesus' name. So the first thing that I want to highlight here is on both occasions, it says that David inquires of the Lord. The place of inquiry is so important. So often we focus on the outcome, but actually, where does it all begin? Well, here we hear that David comes to the place of inquiry. The first time in verse 19, it says, "So David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' The Lord answered him, 'Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands.'" There's something of a confidence, a boldness that grows in you when you feel and hear the word of the Lord. How many of you have had situations in your life and nothing has actually changed, but right here at the altar, you've stood and you've asked the Lord and he's spoken something and suddenly everything seems to change. Literally in the natural, often nothing changes, but something in your heart grows in confidence because you know God is going to go before you. You know, I was in Papua New Guinea, and some of you have heard this story, but for the sake of illustrating what I'm talking about today, would you bear with me as I tell you again? But, you know, I was in Papua New Guinea last year when we were running our event, and we went into the event, and as we got there, people started charging me extra for stadiums, and they started really using our circumstance. The venue tried to close down on us. If you remember, there was all sorts of things that were happening. But what that simply meant is every time I got a phone call, the budget was ratcheting up and ratcheting up. And we'd had it in check until the week we arrived. Then suddenly it just keeps going up. And it got to the place where it was about $50,000. The truth is, I was talking to Pastor Russell probably 2-3 times a day, but I was telling him most of the story, but I was believing God that you're going to come through somehow. Because who knows that, one, I didn't want to worry him, and two, I didn't want to say, well, it's over budget. And so I was in this place, and I went to a particular meeting in Leh, which is about an hour and a half flight from the capital.
And I walked into the meeting, and on the second row was a man, and I just felt to go up to him, not anything super spiritual. I just saw him and thought, caught eye contact, and I went up and I shook his hand. As I shook his hand, the Lord gave me a clear word for him. And I thought to myself, okay, I can't give it to him now because it was right in the middle of praise. Have you tried to speak to somebody in a meeting when praise is happening here? And we were right at the front, so you really couldn't hear each other. So I thought, I'll grab him at the end of the meeting. It didn't happen. At the same time, the budget keeps ratcheting up. I fly back to the Capitol. It's now Thursday morning. Friday night is the big event. And I'm concerned about the budget now being $50,000 over. I've been thinking about it. But earlier in the week, I'd gone to the Lord in my room, in my hotel, and I inquired of the Lord, and I didn't get anything other than, it's going to be okay, I'll take care of it. And at that moment, nothing changed, but in me, a sense of peace and calm came that God had it under control. I hadn't stepped out and been irresponsible. I hadn't done anything. It was in the purposes of God. So I'm just riding at breakfast on the Thursday morning, and I feel a tap on my shoulder, and there's a man who comes, and he says to me, and I turn around, and it's the very man that I had this word for on the front row that I'd shook hands with just a week earlier. But now we're a long way apart. There's no reason why we should meet. And he looks down at me. I look up at him, and he's about to say something. I say, before you say anything, I got a word for you. And often when you get a prophetic word, it doesn't last. It's like it's for the moment. But in this case, I clearly had the whole word for him, and it was relating to his business and some challenges he'd had. And as I start to speak, he begins to weep. And he says, it's unbelievable what you're saying. It's so accurate. You know, it's speaking into my circumstance. And I said to him at the end, the Lord will take care of it. And that sense of peace came over him. But for me, I'm still got the budget issue. Well, at the end of that prophecy, he sits down. He says, Pastor Neil, I really need to tell what happened when we shook hands. For me, he said, that night I actually sat in the meeting and I wrote a check. And he said, I wrote the check because I felt the Lord say to me, to give you this check for the campaign. And he wrote the check and he said, he pulled out his wallet. He said, here it is. And he pulls it out all written already. He said, I wasn't sure if I'd see you again, but here's the check. It was a check for $70,000. You see, it had actually exceeded what we required because you see, when you get a word from the Lord, the victory has already been won. And we need to recognize that God is going to go before us. I tell you, your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is on the way. But, you know, the interesting thing about this is it was a download from heaven, and all it really did was give me a confidence. It didn't give me a strategy. It didn't give me a way out. It didn't give me an understanding. And sometimes all you need is just a little reassurance that God is on your side. Today, maybe all you need is a dose of confidence that God is with you. God is going before you. God is in your setting. God is going to come through for you. But it's interesting because in the very next verse, it actually doesn't give him just confidence. It actually gives him a strategy. He actually says, this is how you need to go and fight. And you see, we've got to be careful that we don't put God in a box that every time he speaks, he's going to give us confidence. He's going to give us a strategy. We just need to trust that God is going to come through on our behalf. You know, he will come through. He'll give you a thought. And I believe, and I've asked the Lord, would you today give people a dose of confidence? Would you today give people a strategy? Your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming.
I hope you've enjoyed the message so far. The Valley of Reframe, known as the Valley of the Giant. Maybe you've had some giants, but today we're going to learn how we can get the breakthrough, whatever your circumstances may be.
But isn't it interesting that it's almost like this story repeats itself? Why do we need to know that David defeated the Philistines twice in the same place, almost exactly the same circumstances, in the same time frame, within a few days of each other? The first defeat in the same place, in the same time frame, is this just repetition for repetition's sake? Or is God trying to speak to us here? Is he trying to use this passage to do something for us? It says in verse 23, so David inquired of the Lord. This is the second time. And he answered, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. Interesting, because he's actually just showing us that there's confidence and that he can also give a strategy. But I think it's important that we understand that God does what God does. And so often we like repetitive nature. So often we want it done in the same package. So often we learn or we get a certain way of doing things and then we lock ourselves into that. But I believe that God wants us to remember that He is God on all occasions. And so don't lock Him into a box. Don't say, you did it like this last time, will you do it again? He will be the God of a breakthrough again, but He won't necessarily bring the same methodology that He used last time. You know, an example is when I was pastoring a church in Perth, we were pastoring and we'd grown very quickly in 6 months. We were actually in a kindergarten and it was a tiny little room. And on Sundays we had an overflow. The overflow was the patio annex outside. It was cheap seats onto the side of the building. And as we got bigger and bigger, the kindergarten wouldn't allow us to take down, you know, the kids would make little cutouts and they'd hang them. And as the year went on, there'd be more on the roof and they wouldn't let us. And some would get so low that I'd literally have to preach like this to the crowd because there were so many of these things hanging around. And it was obvious that size and that wasn't the ideal place to have church. So we found a place and we didn't have a lot of money at that stage. We were just starting out. We were about 120, 130 people. And we wanted to go into this place that would seat about 300. But we needed to do some work on this just this little place. And at that stage, nearly 20 years ago now, we needed $30,000 to do this. And so we're looking at it, we went, $30,000, how are we going to do this? And I inquired of the Lord and He gave me a strategy. And here's the strategy. Start work on the building now without the money. Now that's a strategy of lunacy because you can't start something when you don't have money. Who knows that money is required for everything? But I ran with what He said, and it was a six-week program, and it was about 5 weeks in, and I was getting incredibly nervous because I'd pretty much got everything on credit, and now I'm going, Lord, are You going to come through? I was, you know, building background, so I was on the top of a ladder painting, and I had this brush, and I was painting. I distinctly remember it, and this man walks in the room who I knew, and he's at the bottom of the ladder, and he sort of taps the ladder. He says, Pastor Neil, will you come down? And he was almost angry. I was like, okay. And so I came down and he said, I want to give you this. And he hands me a check. And I said, you don't seem too happy about that. He says, I'm not. I've been driving around for the last few hours trying to negotiate with God how I can get out of giving it to you. And I said, well, I better take it pretty quickly before you change your mind. And he said, yeah, you had. And so I opened the check and it's a check for $36,000. And as he gave it to me, I was excited. He was depressed, but hey, it was okay. It all worked out in the end. And I learned, wow, God, You're so good. Next year comes around and we've got some renovation work we want to do. So I think, let's tell the church that we're going to believe for $50,000. And because you've got to increase it a bit, you know, faith, you've got to make it bigger. And we started spending money. We come to the first week. We've done it this time over 2 weeks. And the first week we come, and if you know anything about raising money, it's in the first week is a good litmus test for what it's going to be overall. And so in the first week we took $20,000. And I suddenly the next day felt like, oh, we're not going to get to $50,000. I inquired of the Lord. Interesting. I inquired of the Lord after I'd already started the process. And the Lord said to me, what did you do that for? I never told you to do that. I said, but Lord, I did it last year this way. And He said, exactly. If You'd asked of me, I may have had a different method of doing it. So I said, well, what do I do? He says, you need to repent before the people. I'm like, are you joking? This is Western society. This will be on the news before I know it if I tell them I've taken their money and it was all wrong. And so I put that to my leadership at the time and I said, what do you think? This is what I'm feeling I should do. They all unanimously said, don't do that. I was like, thank You, Lord, that's my confirmation. But He kept saying, no, you got to apologize to the people. So I said, I'm not going to do it. I came to Sunday morning and I was more fearful of God than I was them, thank God. And I got in front of the people and I said, today we plan to take the second part of the offering. You know, but the reality is, I want to put it to you that if you gave last week, at the end of me speaking today, you can come back and we'll give you the money back. And today we're not going to take another offering. So I stood in front of people and I said that. And And you could feel my leadership team like, it's all over, this is the end, you know. And so I apologized and asked for their forgiveness. Thank God nobody came and asked for the money, thank God for that. But that was in the morning service. In the night service, a man comes up to me. Because the truth was that we had 20,000, but we'd nearly spent 30,000 already. So I'm already in deficit for what's happened. But when you put yourself in the hands of the Lord, you just got to trust He's going to come through, even when you get it wrong. It's not too late. It's not, oh, well, the enemy will say, you've mucked it up, you can't redeem this. He is the great Redeemer. The truth is, none of us would be here without His redemption. And so it's important to understand that God can come through on your behalf, whatever you might have gone through. So today we're going to have some people that the burden of making a mistake is going to lift off them. Some of you are going to walk out of here going, okay, I made a mistake, but God, would you come through for me? So that night, a man comes up to me and he says, Pastor, I went home and we were having lunch with my wife and I had a check for this morning's offering. He said, but I didn't give it because you said not to. So I went home and I was talking to my wife. I said, how good is it we don't have to give the check? And she said to me, don't be stupid. God spoke to us to give the check. His mistake doesn't stop us from doing what God told us to do. And he said, I fought with her for a while. I knew she was right, but I thought she might change, but she wasn't going to. So I'm here with the check. Take it. If you have to bank it, you know, bank it. And I opened the check and it was a check for $12,000. So my deficiency, my weakness, my mistake was still redeemable in the eyes of God because I put myself in the place of inquiry. You see, we need to recognize that God wants us not to live off what we've done before. So often we get caught up in a method and we celebrate the method and we live there. You know, but the truth is, copying somebody else doesn't work. Now, I am an old Queen fan. I'm sorry to say it. Some people would say you shouldn't even say that in church. Well, I'll ask for forgiveness later. But you know, the old Queen songs. Anybody here, just put your hand up very slightly. Wow, there's a lot of you. I see a little silhouette of a man, scalamouche, scalamouche. Will you do the fandango? Very, very frightening. Ah! Oh, what about bicycle, bicycle, I want to ride my bicycle. I tell you, whew, I should be in the band. Anyway. But if you go to a karaoke bar and I'm there singing, you'd probably need, I don't endorse this, but you probably need to have a few drinks before you come and listen to me. Usually in a karaoke bar, there's a bouncing ball and it's bouncing and on that ball, there's somebody singing and it's a cringe factor, generally speaking. But yet down the road, if the band that you were mimicking were playing, people would pay $200-$300 to go hear them because there's something about the original that links with who we are. We need to recognize that God has an original for you. You don't need to copy somebody else or something else. You need to recognize if you inquire of the Lord, He's going to come through on your behalf. And you don't need to do what you did last year because He's an original. He's got something fresh for you. If we're going to move into double portion, we've got to step into a new understanding. In the church, it's funny because we're just as bad as anybody. I remember when Shout to the Lord was a huge song and Darlene Check was like, you know, the goddess of whatever, you know. And I know it's church, but that's really what happened. And everywhere I went to preach in that time, if you remember, for those that are old enough to remember, she would have a grey three-quarter length coat on, long blonde hair, and every church I went to, there was somebody that looked like her. It was like you couldn't lead worship with anointing and authority unless you dress that way. Because there's something in us that says if we copy, we're going to get the same result. No. Remember, in the economy of God, we got to get a download from heaven that's going to come into our situation and open the door that God has purpose for us. We need to inquire of the Lord. See, the method of victory in these two stories is less important than the place that you go. The place that we go is what's important to see the victory established. Because it's not our victory, it's His. He's already purposed it for your life. And yet we're trying to find from somebody, from something we did before, from a person that we look to. But we need to remember, all we simply need to do is look to the Lord and He'll come through in your circumstance. In verse 20, it says, so David went
to Baal Perazim.
And there he defeated them. Interesting that the same place with two different stories is the place where he had victory. So maybe we need to put more attention on the place rather than the method. Understanding that God is wanting us to actually affect a victory. Now, I'm not talking about a natural space. Here he says, Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim actually means in the natural, it's like a mountain, it's really a hill, but it's in the middle. Here we see it's in the middle of the Rephaim Valley. So actually in the natural, it's in a valley, a low flat place, but it's an elevated position so that we can have a greater perspective and a greater understanding. So when you're in a low flat place, when things don't seem to be going according to plan, you need to get in an elevated position. How do we do that? Not climb a mountain, but inquire of the Lord. When you inquire of the Lord, he's going to come through. But here in this place is in the spiritual, the actual meaning of Baal Perazim is the place of breakthrough. We need to recognize that God is going to break through for you. You don't need to come up with a new method, a new idea. You just need to inquire of the Lord and he's going to bring you your breakthrough. It's important that we understand this second victory is the same place. He can do it again, but he's not going to do it the same. Right here in this place, I've had God speak to me so many times. Here at the altar, here in a meeting, God has spoken to me, in my bedroom. And the place isn't a geographical place, it's a place where I inquire of the Lord. What the Bible is trying to tell us here is that David won twice, same army, but entirely different victory, entirely different method, but it started with him going and inquiring of the Lord. Where does your breakthrough start? You see, the place of breakthrough is the place of inquiry. So today, if you inquire of the Lord, your breakthrough is automated. Your breakthrough has already happened because he has a plan of how you're going to get through that sickness, how you're going to get through that marriage issue, how you're going to get through that financial challenge. You need to recognize that your breakthrough begins when you inquire of the Lord. He's got a plan for you. He's got a strategy for you. He's got confidence waiting for you. I went to PNG this week. And one of the things that I was doing was meeting different people. I had an incredible meeting with the finance minister. He's really become my friend in so many ways. Fourth time I met him, but you know, as I met him, he shows up to the meeting. It's nighttime dinner. He's got shorts and a t-shirt on. I've got my suit and tie. I'm thinking, what did I wear this for? 2.5 hours later, we talked about everything about American politics. We talked about all sorts of things. But we also talked about, sir, if we're going to do this according to the plan that we have, the premium plan, we have sort of A and D, and I'd prefer to run with plan A. We're going to be $350,000 Australian dollars short. What can you do to help fund what we're doing? But before I met him, I started to have the thoughts, maybe who I've become a friend of, the guy who gave me the $70,000 check, I need to ring him and catch up with him. Maybe he can make it $300,000 this year. See how our natural always dictates us to us coming up with the plan. It's sometimes difficult to walk up the mountain. It's sometimes difficult to position ourselves to inquire of the Lord. Well, it's not really. We come here every week. And when the altar's open, we should run forward and say, Lord, this week with my kids, I need an answer. Lord, this week with my health, I need an answer. God, would you come through for me? Because if our breakthrough starts with our inquiry, we should spend our life inquiring of the Lord. The musicians can come. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. In fact, that Baal Perazim actually means water bursting through the banks, gushing forth. That sounds a lot like a double portion to me. It's interesting that the very next passage of scripture, where does David go? He goes to the house of Obed-Edom. Why? To get the presence of God. And then he sees an overflow come to his house. We need to recognize that God wants us to step in to all he has for us. But we've got to understand that it starts with the inquiry. You need a breakthrough. You're walking through the valley of the giants today. You don't need to do what you did before. You don't need to ask someone's opinion. What you need to do is inquire of the Lord of the breakthrough. He's going to come through in your setting today.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I pray that message blesses you and brings change to your life. Why don't you connect with us online? Have an amazing week. Thanks for joining us today.